Shalom. This is Shelley K. Baggett, and coming to you on the Voice of One Witness broadcast. I'm the daughter of Billy Brim, and she's been so nice. Thank you, Mother, to allow my new husband, Dr. Thomas Benjamin Baggett III, and I to talk with you and share our a little bit of testimony, all for the glory of God, the miraculous leading of two lives. And if you've joined us in our past couple of days, we talked about the beginning, where when I was only 13 years old, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Mom, and there was a prophecy given and said that you will travel throughout the land hand in hand with a man. His name is Tom. And 40 years later, honey, that happened.
40 years.
And here it's you amazing. Are. It is amazing.
I didn't know you were that old.
Thanks, hon. That's worth a couple of brownie points right there. Thanks a lot. And so I'm so excited about you having this opportunity to talk to the people and let them know a little about your heart, your life, your heritage.
And well, it's good to be back. And the last couple of days, we've talked about our heritage and how it brought us to this point in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for a godly heritage. I'm thankful for where we came from.
Yes.
And you know, it's important that we leave a godly heritage for our children as well.
Yes, it is. I just wonder, when we stand before Christ, and of course we've made it to heaven as Christians, but we will stand before Him to receive reward. And I know that what we do for our kids will mean a lot to Him.
Well, I know it's not the topic of our subject today or even this week, but I think it's important that we all also remember this great country. Mm-hmm. And what this country was founded on. Let's just never forget our founding fathers and the prayers that were prayed and the godly purpose that they had in founding this country.
It's so true. We've just recently been reading books about our heritage and as an American, and how our country has blessed Israel in the past and has known blessings. And it's no secret, it's based on God's word, you and I know, of mm-hmm. Genesis 12:3, where God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you.
Exactly.
So for the nations as nations upon the earth to know blessing, for our children and grandchildren to know blessing, they have to bless Israel according to the book, the Bible, not according to what the State Department thinks it should be. But yes, your third generation Pentecostal heritage, they knew to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, didn't they?
Absolutely. I was taught all of my life to love Israel. My grandfather loved Israel. He wanted to go to Israel. He could never afford to go. But he desired to walk the land. And then when he passed away in 1966, my father became the pastor of that little Pentecostal church.
And in Louisiana.
In Louisiana. And when the Six-Day War broke out in 1967, my dad called revival services every night. We had service every night of that war to pray for Israel, pray mm-hmm. for the well-being of Israel. And when Israel won that war so miraculously, you would have thought it was my dad's personal victory. He just shouted all over the place.
Can you just see him?
Oh, yeah. He was so excited.
Glory to God. That's pretty good for a dentist, isn't it?
Well, it was. It was pretty good. He was a shouting, praying, preaching dentist.
Praise God. Well, that lines up with the Word of God where it says in Psalm 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love thee.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So your daddy loved Jerusalem. He prayed and he prospered,
didn't he? He prospered throughout his life. And he never failed to pray for Israel. In fact, he remained a pastor for more than 40 years. And just after he died, I saw his prayer list that he kept by his bedside. And, of course, as a pastor, he always had a lot of things to pray for in the congregation. But at the top of that prayer list was a picture of the people from Gaza that were giving up their homes. The local paper had run a story. And
this was in 2005 when
yes.
the forced evacuation of the Jews living in Gaza, which
That's
is
right.
part of Israel.
That's right. And he kept those people at heart. They were at the top of his prayer list. So before he prayed for his local congregation, he would start at the top of that prayer list. And he would start with Israel and work his way down. And so I have a great heritage as far as loving Israel and being blessed because of it. And of course, I feel like our relationship has a lot to do with the fact that those prayers were prayed.
Exactly. Didn't he pray for me before he met me?
He did.
What did he say? Because I know my friends want to know, right?
Well, my dad prayed that God would bless me with a wife that would not only be a wonderful wife to me, but also would be a wife that would preach the gospel with me. And as he was telling me about his prayer and how he just believed with all of his heart, this was just before he passed away, just a few days before he passed away in 2006, February 2006, he said, "And son, you may as well get one that can sing."
Hallelujah! Woo! Now, what was one of his favorite songs? Did he like...
He loved Come and Dine.
Oh, we should Come and Dine, the Master
Oh,
calling.
Come and Dine. He loved Come and Dine.
Oh, we sing that in Israel all the time when we go. One of the places that we love to stop is where Jesus, after his resurrection, would have stood on the seashore and said, "Boys, have you caught anything?"
That's right.
And then he invites them, "Come and dine."
Come and dine. Another of his favorites was a song that a lot of people have not ever heard, but it was a song by Reverend G.T. Hayward, who was one of the men that was in the Azusa Street Revival and was on the early board of that first organization with my grandfather. And that song is "I See a Crimson Stream of Blood."
Well, can you sing a few bars?
Oh,
and I'll harmonize with you.
I don't know that I know that song well enough to sing it on radio today.
Well, we'll have to work it out and sing it next time.
Maybe next time.
But you can bet your dad loved that song.
He did. He loved that song.
So he knew about the blood of Jesus.
Oh, absolutely.
And honored it.
Absolutely. I grew up just underneath a pew of a church where if it wasn't my grandfather, later it was my father. But I remember my grandmother pleading the blood over everything in that church house and the Holy Ghost just breaking out into an old-fashioned saint stomping night, you know, and my brother and I hiding up underneath those pews and keeping our hands well to ourselves so we didn't get trampled on.
There was movement among the house of God and the people. Oh, how wonderful. Well, what a heritage, honey. And that's part of what the radio offer we have this week is our heritage, which is the book, The Road to Prayer Mountain, where Mom talks a little bit about our Pentecostal roots.
Wonderful book, and I've enjoyed reading it, and I think all of our readers that are partners or those that are not really familiar yet with Billy Brim the way that they should and will be, should purchase that book.
And, yes. In fact, we're going to make it free this week as our radio offer, by writing in.
Well, don't miss out. It's a wonderful book, and if it's free, it's even more wonderful.
Yes, yes, and we might as well just say it right now. It's Billy Brim, or you can address it to Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And be sure and request your free radio offer of the Road to Prayer Mountain. I'd like to pick up, do we have plenty of time? Because I'd like to tell a little story, or at least get started, on when Mother was peeling potatoes. Now, those who are partners of Billy Brim know this story, but if you just happen to be tuning in your car or your lunch hour, this may be new to you. After we had come back from Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, it was now 1971, and she began to work for a ministry, Kenneth E. Hagin Ministries, as editor. And she would take the tapes that he taught on at school and listen to them, or on the road seminars. And she would peel potatoes, about 5 pounds every night, for 4 growing kids and a hungry husband. You can just hear a lot of good word while you're peeling 5 pounds of potatoes. And it so happened that Kenneth E. Hagin was teaching a message on rightly dividing the word of truth. And he mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says there are 3 groups of people. At that moment, she said, it was audible to me. She said, I don't know if you would have heard it if you were standing there, but to me it was as if a man were speaking. And he said, if you remember that verse of scripture, it will keep your end time doctrine straight. Now, the verse of scripture to remember was 1 Corinthians 10, where it says, give no man offense, neither to the Jews, the nations, or the church. So again, what she heard was, if you remember that verse of scripture, it will keep your end time doctrine straight. Well, I mean, my goodness, she didn't know she needed an end time doctrine. She's got clothes in the washer and dryer and hungry family to feed, but God
and potatoes who knows, to peel.
Potatoes to peel. But God, who knows the future better than we know the past, knew that she would be making many trips to Israel, mm-hmm. and that she needed to have an end time doctrine, because these are the last days.
These are.
And anyone who's a preacher out there or in ministry, whether you preach on Israel or not, you are an end time minister, because these are the end times.
That's a very good point. A lot of ministers say, well, I don't really dabble too much in the end time, or I don't really get too involved in the end time. We are all in the end time, and we need to know where we are. He gave us signs to know where we are.
Yes,
so it's important that we know and have an end time doctrine.
That's exactly right. I'm thinking of Matthew, where Jesus went to the coast of Magdala. It's the last verse of Matthew 15. But we all know the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse, so continue reading in chapter 16, verse 1. So he's in Magdala, and that's where present-day Migdal is, mm-hmm. where we have land in Migdal, Magdala. And
honey, we're going to have to come back and have an entire program about the Magdal or Bell project that your mother is doing.
Yes, let's do
it. It's a magnificent project.
And it's really burning in our hearts right now.
It is. Again, this is the end time. God is bringing that project to fruition for the end time.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to talk about it.
We do. And I believe that it's interesting that in that very place, the coast of Magdala, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him, Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. So in Magdala, Jesus answered and said unto them, quote, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? And so very place where we have this land about the end time, Migdal, the study center there, that's the very location that Jesus said he wants us not to be hypocrites, but mm-hmm. to discern the times. So while mom's peeling potatoes and hearing that verse of scripture, if you'll know this scripture, it'll keep your end time doctrine straight. And so here are Tom, you and me,
mm-hmm.
for such a time as this, we've come to the kingdom of God.
Well, let's come back tomorrow, because I want to hear more about those potatoes.
Yes, absolutely. It's exciting. We'll keep them on the stove a little bit longer. And so again, this is a Voice of One Witness broadcast coming to you. We bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And shalom, shalom.